Morning College Park.
How are you doing this fine April 21st, 2013, on this fine Sunday morning?
Welcome to College Park Baptist Church. My name is not Keaton Huff. I'm William Henson.
And my name is also not William Henson. I'm Keaton Huff.
We hope this will be a special service for you, and the entire group has been praying that all of us would hear God speak directly to us in a powerful way.
We would like to find out who is in worship today. There are worship pads on each pew, and we would like for everyone to sign it so we will know you are here.
Members, please write your name, let us know about any contact information that has changed, and then check the boxes which apply. Guests, please write your name, contact information, age, then check the boxes that apply. Once you are done with the pad, pass it down so that everyone can sign. When it reaches the end, please send it back down the pew so our ushers can pick these up at the conclusion of our worship service.
No youth choir today, but we are having youth because we're getting together for our dinner and show.
That's right. Dinner and a show is May 18th and 19th. It will be a great meal with some amazing talent, starring the youth of our church. All proceeds will go to support youth missions. Tickets will be available soon at $20 apiece. You don't want to miss this. And now we have an announcement from our RAs and GAs.
Good morning. I'm here to let you know that today is the last day for you to order a Boston butt if you have not already ordered one.
Each Boston butt is $35. The Coke will be on Saturday, April 27th, and you can pick your Boston butt up here at from 4 to 6 p.m.
Good morning. My name is Harrison Andrews. On behalf of the RAs and GAs, I would like to say thank you. We thank you for your support in all our projects. We thank you for our Christian foundation and your Christ-like example. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, RAs. All church members are invited to this week's very important church conference at 6:30 in Smith Hall.
We would like to say a very special welcome to our guests today. We have ushers coming down the aisles now. If you are a guest this morning, we would like to give you a little information about our church. We ask any guest to raise your hand, and ushers will give you a packet of information. This packet tells you a little bit of who we are and the several things that we do here. We hope this worship service will be especially meaningful to you. Thank you for coming.
We hope that this worship service will be meaningful to you. Thank you for coming, and welcome to Youth Sunday.
The future is now.
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for bringing us here on this wonderful Sunday morning. And thank you for bringing us to a church that lets youth lead. Thank you for bringing us to a church that loves us. Be with us as we worship you. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, wait a minute. The choir is not back out there to back me up. I need a little bit more than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. We want to say a special welcome to everyone. We want your participation this morning. Everybody should have received a half sheet of paper. Has a heart and an apple on it. Does everybody have one of these? All right. This is what we need for you to do. Our theme for today is growing. And the idea is that the youth wanted to give back to College Park, to say thank you for all the ways that you help us grow. You set examples for us, the way to live as Christ does. We thank you for providing this place to grow like that. Well, that's we wanted to say thank you for that, but also to give us a challenge, because we're not done growing. All of us are called to continue each day to live like Christ. Here's the challenge for us. We want you to take a moment to recognize someone who has shared their life with you, has shown Christ to you. It could be a friend, it could be a neighbor, it could be somebody in this church. How has somebody showed Christ to you in the recent week or month or whatever? I want you to write that person's name down on the heart. And even if you want to write the story or what you saw in them, write that down, okay? And you've got a little bit of time before it's due, but you need to be thinking about that through the service. And then on the apple, what we're asking you to do is, how can God use you this week to be Christ to somebody else? We have all been given gifts. We've been given the fruit of we're called to be fruit of the Spirit. How will you this week, how is God calling you in your life where you are to be Christ? And we want you to think about that. And what's one way you commit this week to be fruit? And so we want you to write that down, okay? And then during the offering, when the offering plates come, we want you to put this sheet of paper into the offering plate, okay? At the end of the service, during Great I Am, we're going to, the ushers are going to bring these down. They're going to put these on the tree that you see behind me that Miss Leanne Purnell did such a beautiful job of doing for us. This, what you see up here, is what 9 o'clock, the recreation service did. And when we're done here, the entire body of Christ at College Park will be represented on this growing tree. And we want you to know how thankful we are for you and all the many ways that you help us grow so that we can all go out and be the body of Christ. Welcome to worship.
We are
one body,
knit together,
growing
for a purpose.
Light and darkness
withstanding the storm,
mending the brokenhearted,
servants to one another.
Stronger together than alone.
Dependent on mercy and grace.
Firm in His foundation.
Free in His presence.
A city on a hill.
We are
community in Christ.
Hi. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 13 today, verses 1 through 3 and verses 31 through 32. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables. Verses 31 through 32 says, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches.
Good morning. I'm Sean Butendorp. Most of you know me, but for those that don't, that's who I am. And first of all, I'd like to take a moment and just thank all you guys for giving the youth this wonderful opportunity to reflect what you all have spent all our lives teaching us and reflect that back on y'all. And we just thank you for this opportunity, and we understand that most youth groups don't even get a chance like this, and we hope we can take the most of this and teach y'all something too. I'll be reading more about the parable of the mustard seed to y'all in just a few minutes, but first I'd like to start off with a few thoughts. As Christians, one of our fundamental callings is to go out into the world and continue the work of Jesus started. Whether it be building houses in Kentucky and Grifton, going on mission trips to places like Bahamas, New York City, or Jamaica, we are spreading the word of Christ to others. When you're in a big group in a big setting, as in these examples, sharing your faith and helping others seems easy to do because you have all those around you, those more experienced, and they can help you along and help you get out of your comfort zone and just help others in any way you can. But when you're alone, like during the week at your job or when you go to school, when you're alone without the support of your fellow believers, it's a different story for most of us. We ponder questions like, how do I get started? How will my tiny contribution make a big difference in the grand scheme of things? How do I help spread the word to others if I don't fully understand it myself? That brings me to our theme for this morning, growing. Now I'll read the parable of the mustard seed once again from Matthew 13, 31 through 32. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Now, before I go any further, I'll take a moment and provide you some background information on mustard seeds. I know, right, you weren't expecting a botany lesson and a sermon. But knowing more about the actual mustard seed and what it meant to the people at that time will give us more context on what Jesus was actually trying to say in this parable. So, a few facts. Though mustard seeds are very small compared to most seeds, once they grow fully, they can produce a mustard plant that can be up to 9 feet tall. Mustard seeds and the mustard plants are both keys for healthy living, as they contain many vitamins and are rich sources of proteins and carbs. Finally, mustard plants spread very rapidly over large areas, though they are not classified as a weed. Now, we all know Jesus was a carpenter, but he knew his stuff. He understood mustard seeds pretty well because all these things apply to what his message was in this parable. And my interpretation is that once we accept Christ into our lives, we have been planted by Jesus. We know from the parable of the sower that seeds are planted on the fertile ground will produce a good crop. The sower is Jesus. We are his seeds, and the fertile ground is the body of believers. However, this morning I'd like to focus on what happens once we have been planted in the fertile soil. For us, the soil can be compared to the church, the body of believers. I know that we are all under a lot of pressure every day in our jobs, at school, in our sports, and sometimes even just in our day-to-day relationships. Living in the world and feeling the pressures of the world makes us want to conform to the ways of the world. We feel smothered by the pressures of others and find it difficult or uncomfortable to share our faith. However, as members of the body of believers, we have a special place where we can come every week to get refocused, recommitted, and re-energized in Christ. That place is our church. When we share fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we gain accountable friendships and friends who truly care and love for us. We are reminded of what God did for us and are encouraged to love others freely, just as God loves us. We learn about the ministry of Jesus, and that it is our duty to continue his ministry until everyone in the world has heard the good news. We are given the opportunity to fine-tune our people skills, to practice sharing our faith, and to learn how to help others in any way we can. Just as the mustard seed needs proper soil and nutrients to grow, we need the church and our fellow believers to help us grow. Although sometimes we feel that our small contribution won't matter and that we don't know enough to share our faith, if we spend time with our fellow believers and make the commitment to grow together, we, like the tiny mustard seed, can become something magnificent, giving new life to people through Jesus, providing for the needs of others, and rapidly spreading the word of Christ outside the walls of the church.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this church and what it means to each of us. We thank you for the message that Sean delivered. Open our ears and our hearts that we might take his words and apply them to our lives. Thank you for sending your son to die for us. Forgive us for our sins. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hey guys, I'm Sienna Devine. I'm one of the youth in the College Park Youth Group. I'm going to be singing a song called All in All. If any of y'all know the words, please feel free to sing along with me.
Treasure that I seek, you are my all in all. I'm seeking you like a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, shame, raising again, I praise your name, you are my all in all. And when I fall down, you pick me up, when I run dry, you fill my cup, you are my all in all. Pick me up When I run dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all, my Jesus, Lamb of God. Worthy is your name, oh Jesus, Lamb of God. Worthy is your name, oh Jesus, Lamb of God. Worthy is your name, my Jesus. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all.
I will be reading from John 15, 1 through 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Morning, everybody. To introduce myself, my name is Ben Butendorp, and I'm the brother of Sean, who just talked about the mustard seed. And I'll be talking about the vine and the branches today. And you just heard Morgan read the story about the vine and the branches from John chapter 15, verse 1 through 5. These verses are verses that many people know. They're verses that I personally grew up with and were very important to me when I was younger. This verse struck me as a child because it talks about growth. It talks about bearing good fruit. And as a kid, I always liked the idea of growing up and getting older and growing on the vine that is Jesus. The vine is one of the most important symbols that Jesus used. He frequently used the vineyard as a background for his parables. Matthew chapter 20, the parable of the vineyard workers. Mark chapter 12, the parable of the evil farmers. And Matthew 21, the parable of the two sons. Olives and grapes, both growing on vines, were two of the most valuable things you could have back in Jesus' time. Olive oil was used as a preservative. It was used for cooking, and it was used for flavor. Grapes were used for fruit, and more importantly, wine. Any person who worked in the vineyard in Jesus' time was exempt from military service and were allowed to use wine to pay off any taxes or debts that they had. So obviously, wine, grapes, and olives were all very important, all based on a vine, which comes in a vineyard. Only the best olives and the best grapes were valuable, and the bad ones were cut off the vine and thrown out. This is exactly what the verses are talking about. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. Just like the vine, which gives the branch water and nutrients and lets the branch live, Jesus gives us life and lets us live when we are connected to him. Just like verse 4 says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. When Jesus told this story about the vine and the branches, he was about to die, and he knew it. He told us about the vine and the branches because he wanted us to stay with him, not break away from him. He wants us to be the good branches to his vine, and he wants to prune the branches that we are so we can bear more fruit and grow farther with him. Verse 2 in this passage goes on to say that God cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, which symbolizes us. If we ever break away from God and say that he is not our Lord and push Jesus out of our lives, we get cut off of the vine and we eventually die. People who get cut off the vine have no eternal life in heaven. Instead, they will forever suffer. The verse also says that God prunes every branch that bears good fruit so it can become even more fruitful. The goal of life is to base your life off of Jesus, be a branch on the vine, and to never get cut off and have eternal life with him. Now to go on to verse 5, which is the most important. You can also see it written up here on our picture. This is the verse that most people know out of this passage. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is true. When we are connected to him, there is nothing that we can't do. But when apart from him, there is nothing that we can do. You simply can't live apart from him. And now to finish up my message, I'll leave you with a personal story of mine. Most of the youth already know this story, and anyone who's in the 9 o'clock service heard it too. It's about me at Ridgecrest. And if you don't know, that's a trip that we always go on every year in November. And to shorten things up, I'll say that I got in a lot of trouble at Ridgecrest. I wasn't really connected to the vine at all on that trip. So I was given the option of either stepping it up and making much better decisions or not going on any more church trips at all. So I came back home and I came to this verse. I really thought about it and I realized that I had to get reconnected to the vine. After that trip, I learned that every single word in this verse is true. And whether you think so or not, you can very easily become less fruitful and start to break away from Jesus. If that ever happens to you, I encourage you to read over this passage. It will help you out a lot, and maybe it will become as special to you as it is to me.
Will you please bow your heads? Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us together here today, and thank you for the many gifts you've granted us. Lord, please watch over us this week and allow us to be able to successfully spread your word outside the walls of the church. We ask you to join us as a community and a body of Christ, and we ask you to support us and call upon others who may not know you to worship with us and focus on you. In your heavenly name we pray, amen.
I'll be reading from Luke 6, 43 through 45. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by the kind of fruit it produces. Figs never grow on thorn bushes or grapes on bramble bushes. A good person produces good deeds from a good heart, and an evil person produces evil deeds from an evil heart. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say.
Good morning. My name is William Henson. I'd like to start today's festivities with a fun fact. I grew up in this church. I started out at infant size, and I've grown to my 6 foot on a good day stature of today. Now, I don't remember eating Cheerios as a baby here, but I do remember playing with hammers and blocks with Trey Sowers about this height. Yeah. I remember being scared to death of Charlie Jones about this height and having spiky hair at RA meetings at about this height. I still recall my granddad passing away at about this height and learning to play guitar in hopes of one day playing a U-turn at about this height. Of course, seventh grade rolled around, and even though I stayed about this height for about 3 years, I remember joining U-turn, Ridgecrest, Caswell's, during a show, and gracing the inside of Carson Smith's suitcase. In 10th grade, I finally grew about 8 inches to where I am now. And I experienced playing lead guitar in the Ridgecrest band. going to Jamaica and Garden City, and finally catching up to my dad. Though my height has fluctuated all my life, one thing hasn't. It's the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and self-control that this church has taught me. In God's word, it says in Galatians chapter 5, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. These things are the fruit of the Spirit." These things are what this church has given me for the past 17 years of my life. But why am I telling you this? You know? I mean, you've already given it to me, so what next? See, we often come here to get away from all those worldly things, to get away from everything, but we don't cower in fear at giving love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control to a scrawny little brown-haired kid at our church. But we do when we go outside of here. We cower whenever we're faced with the opportunity to give those same fruit to those outside of here. Now, I'm not putting you down. I want to give you the highest praise for what you've given me. But I also want to ask the highest of favors. I want you to go out and do and give what you've given to me every day to those who need it. Because there are other scrawny little brown-haired kids out there other than me. So, show the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, faithfulness, the gentleness, self-control that you've shown me inside College Park for the past 17 years. Because, after all, God showed us the greatest love whenever he gave his only son to die on the cross for our sins. So go out into God's creation and continue to grow with him. You may not grow to 6 feet on a good day, but show the others in the world the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you.
mountain shake before him, the demons run and flee. At the mention of your name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. The great I am. The great I am.
It's a powerful thing to watch the people of God be the people of God. I get a chance to see that on a weekly basis, on a daily basis. I am thankful for all the examples that you see up here. So many people who give and give and give. The examples that you give to our children and to our teenagers. I am thankful for the people of College Park who believe that it is their mission to raise the next generation. But as you can see, they are not the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. Because they have led us to the very throne of God. Thank you for what you provide these teenagers through budget funds, through barbecue sales, dinner and a show in a month. All the many ways that you pray for our youth, that you love them. But most importantly, you show Christ. Thank you. Thank you for the way that you love them. And as you can see, through the prayers, through the songs, through the messages, Christ's love is getting in to them because of what you have done. But I'm reminded, working with this amazing group hearing the stories, the things that they struggle with, the things that their friends struggle with. We need Christ more than ever. And so we need you to be Christ where you are more than ever. And so the challenge is before us to use the gift that God has given to each of us at work, at school, at the Y, at the restaurants, to be Christ. That is our challenge. That is my challenge. That as I leave these doors, that each step that I take, I become more like Him. Growing into being like Christ. That is the challenge that has so clearly been given this morning. And I'm thankful for this group and the ones who are able to join us at 9 o'clock. I'm thankful for the way that they trust me and they put up with me. I'm thankful for the patience they show me with all the text messages I send to them, reminding them when to be at church, ready to lead worship. These young people sacrifice a lot, whether it's U-turn and the extra hours of rehearsal, or the ones who serve in our bus station ministry, the ones who work in our preschool and our children's ministry, so many of our great teenagers who I am blessed to be a part of their lives. I thank them. I'm thankful for our leaders, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, who pour into these teenagers week after week after week. Many times wondering, am I making a difference? Sunday school leaders, Sunday night leaders, Wednesday night leaders, you are making a difference. I'm thankful to the people who run our soundboard, run our light, run our computers, that help proclaim God's word. We could not do this without you. To the ones who provide us visuals, like the tree behind us, thank you. To our staff, thank you. You mean more to me than you know. God has called us to make a difference. Will we make a difference this week? That is our challenge. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for being a part of worship. And we pray that God spoke to you specifically. And as Tiffany comes now, she's going to have our closing prayer. We ask that as you leave this place, you go in Christ's name, sharing His love everywhere you go. Thank you for coming this morning.
Will everyone bow their heads and pray with me, please? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful service that the youth have put on today, and help us all go out and spread God's word and be the branches of God and follow God in everything we do, even when we think we might not make a big of a difference in someone's life. And let us follow this week and make a huge impact. And in your name I pray. Amen.